It's the Bad Advice Show.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. It's gonna be May. That's right, everybody. It is May, and here is another edition of one of the greatest podcasts in the world. It is the Bad Advice Show. And to my right, hailing out of places that's known in the deep south as the Shoe State, Mel, everybody.
I believe you mean the boot.
The boot, the shoe. Listen, you can always call it what you want to call it. And hailing from parts of Georgia we prefer not to talk about. Put your hands together for Daddy of Daddies. It's Rome Russell, everybody.
While we don't talk, you know what? Let's not speak of it.
See? My point exactly.
It's really better for everybody when Gordon doesn't discuss the South.
Yes, it is. It is. But like people are, I gotta remember that people listen to the podcast and will remind me of things that I've said on the podcast. Someone sent me a CNA advertisement and suggested that I wrote it.
Oh my God. We are not about to make fun of working people.
No, we're not.
Today.
We're not. It just tickled me that people remember that I said that.
It just pisses me off that I live by a bayou now, and every time I pass it, I'm like, this motherfucker.
Dang. Wait, you blaming me for that? Oh, wow. Oh, I'm sorry. I just got distracted. I just saw something popped up on my screen. Serena's about to have her second baby.
She is. She's at the Met Gala, very pregnanto.
Yes, she is.
Two black queens pregnant at the Met Gala.
That's right. Rihanna's there too.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I like how everybody's like, wait, who else is pregnant?
I forgot. Like, honestly, so many people dropped out. I was trying to remember today if she was like still like organizing it or whatever the term is, or if she was hanging back too. Because, you know, pregnancy is, I mean, you know, it's not like you have to be in quarantine, but you don't know if you're going to be feeling it.
Yeah, I got you. Like, I've never been pregnant before. So I'll take your word for it. It looks fun.
Different people had different experiences. I enjoyed being pregnant, but after the second time, I was like, you know what? I think I got everything I'm going to get out of this. I'm good.
When I say it looks fun, I should preface that with Rihanna makes it look glorious and fun. Like, if I could be pregnant like Rihanna, I would do that every day of the week.
Well,
you can start by being a billionaire. Yeah. Or a woman. One, you know, whichever. But she does look like she looks like she's having a good time, and I hope that's the truth.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this whole relationship is just kind of like looking at ASAP just be there. And so the other day I saw I don't know if it was a tweet or an article that was like, ASAP Rocky is styling the baby. And I'm like, you mean dressing his child? But I love the way they framed it. Like, he is doing stuff. And all I could think about was, now we have $300 million and $70.
If the next time he has one of those rapper moments where he's in the video, counting money or holding a big stack of money, Rihanna should just go through the background pushing a wheelbarrow of gold.
I like to think that ASAP Rocky, he made Tyler the Creator the first child's godfather. I think that would be hilarious.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think they're speaking.
But they're not speaking no more?
Mm-mm.
Dang. No. Oh, I thought they was buddy buddies.
They were.
I mean, they were.
I not know.
I'm not going to say nothing else because Rihanna looked like she liked to fight.
Yeah. that's for sure. She's Bajan. So, yeah, I know this for a fact. Yeah.
But yep. they were friends.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Can anyone explain what the Met Gala is? I just know it is an event that a lot of people get dressed up for, and then they go inside a building, and I know nothing else that goes on in that building.
It's a fundraiser for an art gallery.
Art, okay. Right?
And I suppose it's probably like one of them $15,000 plate shits.
Jesus, that's a
You
lot of
know,
money for a plate.
yo, that plate is coming with me along with any others that get sat down.
It better be keys on that plate for like a used car or something.
Wow.
I want a Honda Civic and a unicorn steak.
I definitely would at least expect to see a Pegasus. I don't have to ride it, but I would expect to see it.
Least flap his wings.
Yeah, like you do a little trick. Nothing like that requires a lot of training, but something that is very Pegasus specific.
A little trot like the horses in Nashville do, little two step.
Just a little something slight.
All I can think of is just like if I paid that much, I just want to see a mammoth.
A mammoth.
Yeah, just a woolly mammoth.
You know, we don't get to see inside. There's no telling what's in there.
I've
All we
decided it's
know is,
Darius Cook's mud wrestling, but that's just me.
for all we know, they end up touching each other's nipples. We don't know what's going on in there.
Could
Ooh,
be.
imagine if they got all dressed up to go inside and beat up Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson just in a wife beater and slacks, and it just everyone gets to punch him.
Just chasing them with wiffle ball bats.
He has such a
What?
smackable face.
Yes, he does. He really does.
His face was made for the back of your hand. It's crazy.
Yeah, not even a backhand, not even a forehand slap. Just a disrespectful ass from the hip backhand.
Yeah, he got to get a little knuckle.
Yeah. So he learned.
This is gonna make me sound weird, but like I just don't think white dudes can pull off a bow tie. I like as soon as I see a white dude in a bow tie, I know it's about to be some chicanery and bullshit. But
Yeah.
when I see a black dude in a bow tie, I'm like, that's no more respectful. Look at this elegant motherfucker come down
That's a motherfucker
the
who's overcome some shit.
chimney.
He faced adversity with dignity and flared nostrils, and I salute you.
Exactly.
If I
As
see a white
soon
man in a bow tie, he is the reason the black man in a bow tie had to face indignity with dignity and flared nostrils.
the flared nostrils is also important because Denzel did it in Glory. He flared his nostrils. Samuel L. Jackson has done it in every movie.
Yeah.
That
And
one
brow
tear from
sweat.
Glory.
Don't leave out the brow sweat.
Oh yeah. He about to do the Equalizer 3, where like I'm not gonna say he's far too old to be whipping everybody ass, but it's still impressive.
Mean, when you put it into the context of the fact that these little niggas can't fight, it's about right.
Yeah, oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, he just be going around murdering people and he times
Yeah.
it.
If you put it in context, it makes sense. He spent, like, when he was in his prime, he wasn't even timing it. He wouldn't even have time. He would be killing people in seconds.
It wouldn't
He
even been a
was.
movie.
It
No.
would have been a 17-minute episode with 84 bodies.
Equalizer, the web series.
Just
Exactly.
four TikToks back to back.
The supercut.
Oh my God.
That's it. I'm gonna accept the fact that he's older and kicking ass because they let Liam Neeson's crazy ass do it until his
That is so
early
true.
70s. He fought a wolf.
Oh yeah, that's right. He no, not only did he fight a wolf in that movie, he survived a plane crash.
Yeah. And fought a wolf.
Got hunted by wolves and used the tiny liquor bottles that they had on the plane as knives.
Leave me alone. Are you
No, this
serious?
is true. Yes, that
He
is the
tied him to his,
he taped him to his fist like brass knuckles, and he fought a wolf.
Leave me alone.
Not just a wolf, a pack of wolves.
And survived.
Wait, I
As
don't
far
know.
as we know,
They leave it open-ended.
he
He
does
doesn't
not
die
die in
in
the
the
movie.
movie.
Say again?
He does not die in the movie. You do not
No.
see him die.
You don't see him
No.
die in the movie, no. You don't hear the wolf anymore, but you don't see him anymore either. So you're like, they kill each other?
Yeah. So if we can have great White Hope movies, we can have one Black Knight movie where it's a real black dude.
That's so true. I totally forgot that what's his name? Clint Eastwood was a drug mule in a film.
At 137 years old.
I mean, that's probably the best time to do it. Who's stopping him?
True.
Now that is the whole plot of that film.
I get it. It's easy. It's surprising it hasn't been done more.
Oh, man.
Shit, how do we know it's not done every day? We see old people who we wondering where they going. Like, who put their grandma on the plane? Who know grandma didn't put herself on the plane to move these keys?
Yeah, it's done in real life. I gotta believe that.
Mm-hmm. The cartel.
Sister Nadine moving bricks for the cartel.
You stopping Melissa McCarthy's great aunt? No,
No, I'm definitely not.
No, you're not.
You go on your day, ma'am. Meanwhile, she got a whole trunk full of that black tar.
Yeah. She'll lean over and she say, I've got 19 balloons in my hoo-ha. You like, what? What does that mean? Then she roll off.
And she just ratchet as fuck. Sitting low in the seat, listening to gasms.
Oh no. Oh no. All right, let's get it out of the way. Speaking of wayward old people.
Who's responsible for Uncle Smokey's activities?
I do not know. From him not knowing how to pronounce Hanukkah to those that don't know, go look that up.
We have to get him in like woodworking. And not the kind he be talking about.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, that was.
Because if you tell him, like, if you just cold tell him we going to a woodworking class, he's showing up butt naked in a silk robe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I got some wood for you, baby.
I've been working wood ever since the 70s.
Shit.
And the thing about gasms is we got to tread lightly to an extent. I know Sarone not, but like, at least one of us probably owes our existence to Smokey Robinson singing that shit, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
But Gasms was an adventure. Gasms ain't for everybody.
If you're not sure what we're talking about, Gasms is the title of Smokey Robinson's latest musical endeavor. His latest album is called Gasms.
I hope that as its last thing, BuzzFeed does a quiz. Which Gasm are you?
Oh, man.
And then at the end, like, you answer some questions. It's like, you are a mind gasm.
He kicked off the album sale by doing something that was not necessary at all. He reportedly was going around telling people how he had relations with not only the great Diana Ross.
But do you want to know what's crazy?
What?
He was talking about it because she wrote about it, I found out.
Ooh.
But ooh, that make it less funny, so I don't pay attention to that part. I just want to put my hypocrisy out there.
Oh, man. I didn't know that. I didn't know that part.
Please, please, please. Why are you in 2023 talking about some pussy you got in a doo-wop era? One of y'all. Only one of you can do it.
Yes,
I'm sorry, but if two octogenarians are reminiscing about fucking, like, please just go fuck again. Why do we have to be in it? Clearly it's still on your mind. Why am I involved?
Didn't want to know, because I don't know if they noticed or not, but when you tell me y'all did it, I picture you right now.
And that's not something, that's not who I want to be. I don't know about the rest of y'all.
Oh, Pornhub says a lot of people. You know what? I'm going to stop telling you.
Granny porn is a big thing?
Yes.
Is that a big thing in Jersey? You be watching granny porn?
No. You know what I do? I go on porn MD.
You be watching Mildred part the bushes?
No. I go on porn MD and see what people be searching. A lot of people can't spell properly when they go looking for porn. I don't know what they'd be doing. I think I know what they'd be doing, but they don't know how to spell breasts right. A lot of people just put beast.
That's a whole other side.
I feel like that's probably a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Because whenever people talk about finding their kids like little nasty history when they're trying to be, you know, little curious nasties, it's always some misspellings. Always.
Oh, it was my boys in particular looking for THIQQ girls.
Mm-mm. I am so sorry. Please don't tell America which one.
I'm not going to tell them which one. But they spelled it THIQQ.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. And the thing about it is kids are no more curious now than they were before. Kids are always going to get whatever you got. Like, they are going to look for it. If you got it, they're going to find it. And they are going to fix it. Like, how many kids have stories about looking at their daddy's Playboys, you know?
Oh man, you had to go through a motherfucking Indiana Jones adventure to find Playboys back in the day. I crawled up in the attic. I risked bites from a brown recluse, a raccoon, and a bat trying to get to a fucking 1989 edition of Black Tail.
Yeah, I missed the magazine era. My cousins did have they found my uncle's and I guess my grandfather's stash of like Booty Talks and old DVD covers and VHS covers, and they kept it in a bowling bag like we wouldn't look in there.
That is a lot of porn comparatively. In a bowling bag?
In a bowling bag, and they shoved all these Booty Talks in there.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a big ass bag.
That's a big bag.
Oh man!
But that's like the worst hiding spot I've ever heard of. That's like, of course, badass kids are gonna see a bowling bag and be like, oh, we can throw this down the street,
right? It's like putting them in a Monopoly box. Like, they are going to look in that.
Yeah.
They were very, very nonchalant with it, too. They were just like, it was just right there in the bowling bag at the top of the closet. Like, why wouldn't we look in a bowling bag?
You're sitting there thinking to yourself, have you ever seen this nigga bowl? Has anybody here seen him with a bowling ball? Or say he was going bowling tonight. Let's look in his bag.
The one place. Time you remember that nigga bowled a 50.
A is solid he practicing? 43.
He must be practicing. This is bullshit.
Did you just type your name in and leave?
Oh my God. Yep. Yeah, just to prove that he was there.
All right, so back to Gasms. It was a couple of tracks on there I wanted to talk about. I fit in there.
Oh no, I hate the titles of these songs.
You fill me up.
Oh, I really hate the titles of these songs.
Roll Around.
Roll Around was so. I'm sorry, I gotta say. I was going through it and I'm like, okay, not for me, but for someone.
Right.
Then Roll Around came on. I was like, oh no, he's clowning now. But I feel like, I don't think we're at a point in our lives where we're going to appreciate Gasms. Gasms is for like when you're a colonoscopy veteran. Like if you're on your first 5 colonoscopies, you're not going to get it.
Say what now?
But once you're at the point in your life where you know whose child went off to college, you know who's celebrating the divorce anniversary, you know, I'm gonna bring Barbara a cake. Like when you're there, I think you might have an actual appreciation of Gasms.
You know what? I see where you're going with this, and I actually like it because the nigga that'll bring you a cake definitely has Gasms playing on his phone when he walks in the door.
Yeah.
Damn, I don't think I've ever given anyone a cake before.
No, you're not there yet.
You're not there yet.
Oh yeah. Man, if I ever gave one of my exes a cake, she'd be pissed. She'd be like, what you trying to say about me? calling me hungry. I'm like, God damn, why do I keep doing this to myself? Oh man. Oh man. So
yeah,
so,
Gasm changed my afternoon.
Well, I changed a lot of people's afternoons. Smokey, you're filthy.
Yeah, this shit should also be called the Cialis Serenade because Smokey is chewing down Viagra like fucking Skittles. Like, his heart is going to bust out of his chest one day.
Oh, he's planning on setting a bus. Oh, my. Let's go from one age group to another age group. This past week, the NFL draft had taken place, and it happened in Kansas City. And I, for one, am super excited because not only were the first three draft picks, well, the first three quarterbacks taken in the draft were African Americans. That's right, everybody. Black quarterbacks. They're all the rage.
Why do you sound like a 1920s newsman?
You sound like drunk Howard Cosell.
That's it. The colors are throwing that ball.
Shit.
Brace yourself, Nancy's. I'm sorry. Last one. Bryce Young, he is headed to Carolina to play football. I believe he's the first. I could be wrong about this, but I heard someone say this as a stat. He's the first only child ever to be drafted first overall.
They are running out of shit to.
I've never cared.
They are running out of stats.
I've never cared.
He threw 15 touchdowns. His mom and his dad is with him, and he's only child.
That's right. No brothers and sisters for this one. Who did he throw the ball to? Who threw it back? Who knows?
Why is that important?
You have to be real. Yo, you have to be real dedicated to being an NFL quarterback as a child if you ain't got nobody to throw the ball to.
I blame Jackson Mahomes. If we didn't know how stupid their siblings could be, I don't think that would matter.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Jackson Mahomes he's just too involved.
Jackson Mahomes has made ESPN say, maybe these some motherfuckers we don't need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate changed. Not having Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah. That changed the scouting. It's like, you did pretty good on the field this year, but do you have any brothers? Yeah, I got a smaller brother. You got a little brother? Yeah. Well, you got to find somebody else to play for, motherfucker.
It's okay that you got a brother. Does he have a TikTok or social media? We would like to see that before we draft.
Yeah.
Man.
Is this your brother on the sidelines gyrating and pelvic thrusting after you threw a touchdown? Yeah, I don't think so.
Is he hitting a wall on a memorial of a beloved player? Maybe not. I wish you the best in your future endeavors, though.
Oh, my God. It is by far the most ridiculous things when Jackson Mahomes is like he's more known than some NFL players.
Why is he the story?
Because he makes himself the story.
I understand that. That is a thing in sports, though. You have to make yourself the story. That's the only reason we be talking about bum ass Dylan Brooks.
Would we be talking
about Dylan Brooks if he didn't know how to make himself the story? Because it's all ain't his game. I don't even watch ball like that. And I know that his game is kind of.
Yeah.
On the side of poo.
Yeah, he's been in the limelight ever since the what game was it? The Laker game where Shannon Sharpe almost murdered people.
Yeah. That was a night.
And then he upped the ante by telling the world in an interview, unwarranted, he's old.
Excuse you? That's not like a stat. He's old. I don't respect you unless you give me 40 points. I was like, I wouldn't say that. And then he said the most Canadian trash talk I've ever heard in my life, because he's from Toronto. He just said, I poke bears. I was like, what? Huh? Why?
Dylan Brooks has been in the league since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't going to be talking about him otherwise. Like, how often did he come up prior to this season? And I'm not saying people never talked about him, but for him to make it outside of people who know ball and to get to this point as the level of player that he is, he saw his out and he took it.
Oh, out is right, because he doesn't have a contract anymore. And he's waiting to get re-signed. And after this antics, he might be playing in Shanghai.
The thing about it is, you want to talk tough to, you know, the big guy. That's fine. But you have to back it up. Like, you have to come with something.
Yeah, he didn't bring any defense. He didn't bring many rebounds. He airballed a ton of shots after he said, I poke bears. And LeBron just told him, just watch this. And, like, it was a mature ass whooping. It was like that dude that knew he could kick the kid's ass. And he was like, I ain't going to talk to him. I'm just going to whip his ass.
Because he never responded.
Nope.
This was.
I mean, until after he kicked him out the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah, after he kicked him out the playoffs. Then he responded with some rap lyrics.
Which, I mean, it's the
awful thing to do in the world.
I mean, it's absolutely beautiful, though, to watch somebody support their girlfriend's husband.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I can only hope.
Oh, my God.
That my boyfriend supports my husband in that manner. I can only hope.
It is so weird because, like, LeBron, when he did the press conference after the game where they beat the Grizzlies, he was wearing like some type of white linen with the buns undone and a whole bunch of silver chains. And I was like, yeah, he about to go on a cruise.
Tom Joyner, to be exact.
That's Jazz Fest type shit right there.
You got your ass beat by a man old enough to have his favorite bus stop names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not the shuffle for him.
No. What y'all doing, Chicago style? No, I like St. Louis.
Yeah. I don't understand why people bring up people's ages when it comes down to a athletic event that he is 6'9 and 275 pounds.
He's still playing at a high level.
Dude, he's still playing at D level.
Yes.
He's the standard.
Dude, he did a reverse dunk.
Was last year his best season?
Not his best season statistically, but he was the best anybody had ever done at that age.
Yes. And like, they
including Jordan. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, including like Wilt Chamberlain, including like Robert Parrish, including Jordan. Like, I don't even think Jordan played to 39.
No, he didn't play to 39. Because I think Jordan was about 37 when he was playing for the Wizards. No.
Jordan was 40 when he played for the Wizards, I think.
You think so?
Huh. I think so.
I just remember those years that, like, he wasn't scoring as much, but he was coming out with some Heat Jordans at the time.
but didn't he outperformed himself somehow last season? That I remember.
Yeah, he had a better.
He outperformed season. His best or one of his better seasons last season.
Yeah, because
it was his best season in LA, I think.
Yeah, because he was scoring at a high rate, rebounding at a high rate, and he was doing it without AD. He was basically by himself. Him and Patrick Beverley were taking people home.
Hilarious.
Oh, Gordon, you wanted to touch on this because I don't want to keep poking the bear because I don't want LeBron to show up in my glove box. Uh-huh. Like, hey, I heard you had a lot of jokes last night. I don't want him to show up.
Right.
But you had a good you had a good thing that most people didn't notice Well, some people know this, but you had an insight into what's the guy's name from Kentucky in the NFL draft?
Oh, Will Levis. Oh, for those that back to the NFL draft, there was two amazing things that happened. One for a fucked up reason, one for a sentimental reason. I liked it. The fucked up reason is Will Levis was told by everybody, by most like analysis scouts, hey, he might be the third quarterback to go. And that's a lot of money that he was supposed to get. So he showed up with his family, his girlfriend, sitting out of his arm, and he's in the lobby with all the top draft picks, and they're getting drafted. And here comes the third pick. Nope, not him. Here comes the fourth pick. Nope, not him. Basically, he sat there the whole first round and not got get drafted and watched people walk by him all night. And his girlfriend looked so pissed. She looked like she was watching money fall between her fingers. It started to look like she started like looking at other players like, he cute. You know, I'm fucked up.
That's rough.
It is rough. Like, I really, like, I wish the NFL would tell players that they're definitely going in the first round, but you can't, I guess you can't let people know that because, like, people gamble on the draft and all that stuff. So he had to sit there in that room by himself with the ornery girlfriend who got dressed up and also said that she had to pee, and that's why she looked so upset. And I'm just like, you could have just went to the bathroom. You gonna be there when you get back.
That ass fucked up reason for them to not, like, to not tell them, like, yeah, young person who is trying to start their career, we could make this decent for you, but old ass niggas won't bet on you. So bring your bitch ass on up. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's real fucked up, because that's like saying that, you know, you're like, I flew out my mama and my dad's here, and he's got bad feet. Can we leave? No, you are still at +600 to go to the Colts.
did he ever get drafted?
The second day, on day two.
Oh, okay. Who drafted him?
The Tennessee Titans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was an awkward situation. He went home. It was one kid who stayed, which I found very cool. He was there the first night too, but he was a defensive player. Most people didn't think he was going to go in the first round, and he fell to the second day, and he still showed up with another outfit, which was a dope outfit too, and he still walked across the stage because, like, dude, yeah, if I'm here and I know I'm going to get drafted, I'm walking across this stage. I don't care if I'm going on day seven. I'm walking across this stage.
Yeah.
I want my moment. Give me my moment. Oh, and the most heartfelt thing, in the seventh round, the Cowboys drafted a running back. I believe his last name is Vaughn, who dad is also a scout for the Cowboys. And he's like kind of undersized at 5'5", I believe he's 5'5", or 5'3". A great running back. And he got drafted, and he was waiting to get drafted, and his dad got to call him, and it was I got the allergies. His dad called him with tears in his eyes. He's like, hey buddy, would you like to go to work with me this week? And he's like, yeah dad. I was like, oh
man. So he's gonna be kind of like a Darren Sproles.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said that he's gonna be. Like, sometimes I don't like the NFL at all because their antics remind me of slavery, like most things. But I'm so happy that they didn't do the draft during COVID when they wanted, was supposed to be in Las Vegas, and they proposed to have the players, when they get drafted, to ride a boat up to the podium. And I was like, "Dad, no, you need more black people to tell y'all niggas y'all can't do that."
Yeah. Man, what? The spirit of Harriet Tubman would have spun up out of that goddamn water.
Them same ghosts from, what's that lake in Atlanta?
Oh, Lanier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just took a little trip. What y'all doing this weekend? Y'all want to outsource right quick?
Y'all need to have one black person, just one black person in your office. Like, are y'all out of your fucking mind?
Because you know somebody else is like, shouldn't they be shirtless? You don't get this buck boy shit out of here.
But it was entertaining. I like the fact that it's traveling. It's no longer just in New York City, which I think is cool. They did it in Kansas City, which was which apparently Kansas City has a lot of fountains.
Yeah, it's a city of fountains.
Why don't they just do it at the city of whoever the Super Bowl winner is? I mean, I know this year that's Kansas City.
Yeah.
But like, just make that up. Well, I guess you can't do that if you start having back-to-backs, but.
Yeah, that would be, imagine doing a drive in New England all those years in a row.
Ugh. Going to Foxborough, fuck that.
Never mind, I take that back.
Oh, the Chiefs now did kind of.
Now I know why the answer is no.
Kansas City, they did kind of take advantage of the fact that it was in their city and they won a championship because with their first draft, they brought out, before they even made the pick, they brought out the trophy to make the pick.
Now that is petty. And I
That's
like
the it. Kind of obnoxious shit I sign up for.
Half the crowd was booing because, you know, people travel to see their team draft somebody. So they were like, oh, fuck you. Get out of here. Oh, man. But yeah, it was a good, wholesome, not too much fucked up shit happened this draft. Like years ago, for those that don't remember, CeeDee Lamb knocking the phone out of his girlfriend's hand.
No.
He didn't knock it out of her hand. He snatched it. He was on camera and he got drafted. And she was like trying to go through his second phone at the time while they were on camera. And he just snatched it out of her hand.
Yeah, he was like, not today. We'll talk about my problems later, but not today.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun things. George Pickens had my favorite one. He just stayed in the house and he had like a mask on. And he was just staring at the TV in a dark room. And he was standing the whole time. I was like, what is this?
What's his name?
George Pickens.
That's a murderer. That's somebody that can't wait to hurt somebody on the field.
I'm not going to be surprised if he starts going by three names.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah.
Oh yeah, I just looked him up. He's and I remember who he played for. He's very good. He's insane.
Yes. Yes, he's a crazy person.
Yeah.
Like, when he does anything good, I'm like, ooh, I'm glad he's not on my team. Cause he will do something to somebody. Oh man. Ugh. It's been a fascinating week. What else did you guys do this week?
I was at the improv all week. Shout out to the DC Improv for having me again. Shout out to Derek Gaines and Dave Temple, who I featured for this week.
Yes, them the homies.
Yeah, they are the homies. They spoke very highly of you. It was good to meet them. I will see Dave again, because apparently me and Dave worked on the 50 Central show a long time ago. And so it was good to connect with them.
Yeah. Some good guys. Man, what you have going on?
This weekend, I was working on my site because I'm going into business for myself. It is very scary. I am very nervous. And sign up for my newsletter because I got to pay these bills, nigga.
Oh, emails are important, people. Share them with me. Give me your emails. Let me have your emails. I won't do anything treacherous with it. That's how Kevin Hart got big. He asked for a lot of people's emails at the shows. And apparently, when you email people, they take it serious.
Yeah. Hmm. A lot of life is just showing up and consistently showing up and giving your best to that. And if your best works, then you move to the next thing. And if it doesn't, you move on to something you're good at.
Yeah.
I like that advice. Like, I'll be very honest with you. I don't like emailing. It's too passive aggressive. I can't take business emails. Like, if I worked in the office, I would have hurt somebody. Because, like, if I ever got an email that says per my last request,
Mm-hmm. I'm like, who the fuck?
Like, there's a couple of ways to handle passive aggressive emails. First of all, I prefer email because I'm dyslexic and I have ADHD and I need to look at shit like a million times for it to make sense and register. But it also like gives me a record of where I am. Have I looked at it? Like what the status is on it? It's like it's on checklist. So I like email, but I also know how to respond to passive aggressive emails because my aggression is aggressive. And so I want to know what the fuck this actually means. And I have not been above getting up, walking to a desk. I'm like, okay, I need you to explain this to me while I'm here.
No, I just pictured whoever you sent that email to peeking over the cubicle to see you come. Oh, shit.
I don't think I'm reading this properly. So I need you to explain while I'm here what you need and what you're trying to say. Yo, and I don't like I'm at work. I don't be trying to like, yeah, bitch, what's hood? I don't do that. But no, you're gonna have to say it to my face so you can get the reaction in my face. Cause I don't do that. Like I treat people with respect. So we not doing that at all. I had one chick who tried to get spicy. I was in a thread with the manager and she took the manager out and emailed me something sideways. So I put the manager back in and dragged her from Amazing Grace to Floating Opportunity. And like, I got laid off not too long after that. But like, don't play with me. I'm not. I mean, it was like a year, but still. We are going to talk like we're going to talk. Like, you're not about to. And I'm going to tell you off in front of the manager. The manager not my daddy.
Yo, I'm ignoring like 6 email threads right now. I am not good at that shit. I cannot keep up there. Like, have you seen my last email? Like, I forgot we talked.
I think the key for me is when I have something delicate or potentially testy to say, I say it because I don't want you to misunderstand my tone in an email. And some topics, if you just type them, they're going to come off like testy and bitchy. And that may not be the case. Or if it is the case, like you need to know I'm pissed the fuck off and we got to fix this. Like whatever. But you just have to know how to advocate for yourself and be direct. And most people come to respect it because it's not a matter of me. I'm not going to fucking fight at work. But there's a way you're going to talk to me and there's a way I'm going to talk to you and we can work together with that. So, and most people respect that once they figure it out. People just like to try you.
I can understand that. I, on the other hand, will fight you at work. I fight you in a box. I fight you next to a fox. I fight you.
Fuck. When you send me a bad email or like as per my last email or like passive aggressive, I just hit you with a one word answer. I'll even delete like my name and number at the bottom. I'll just make sure it's just a whole email with just nah.
that's petty and I like it.
As do I. I'm direct. And sometimes it comes off like deadpan, but I try to be even with people when it's work stuff, you know?
All right. That's fair enough. Look at us being equal and petty at the same time. We need more pettiness out in the streets.
It's what we do here at the Bad Advice Show. We're not at the end of the show, but I just feel it in my spirit to thank everybody who's been listening because I had some people tell me over the weekend that they liked the show. Like they had heard the Bad Advice Show before. I was like, oh, that's special. You know, it made me feel good.
Oh, man, let me tell you, that happened down in Atlantic City. I was in Atlantic City, and they were bringing me to the stage, and he was like, I don't even tell them how to introduce me anymore. I just like, yo, just say whatever. I'm going to do the same shit either way. So So, like, I hear the announcer go, and the one of the hosts of the Bad Advice Show, Gordon Baker. I was like, oh shit.
Nice.
So the name's getting out there. That's good. Shout out to the people out in Nigeria still listening to us, all 16 of you.
You're welcome. I know I'm responsible for at least eight.
At least. I need to look at this world map and see where we popping at, so I can shout out them people individually the next time.
All right, I'll send you a copy of it. Oh man.
Yeah, like y'all sent me a copy of that other thing.
I'm so fucking sick of you not going in the drive.
Oh my god, I'm so happy I got this new microphone.
I am too.
I ordered it from Amazon. And at this new apartment that I got, we got one of those Amazon hubs, and the shit's freaky. You just punch in a code that they send you, and just the box just opens.
Yes.
It's like, here's shit.
I love it's waving my phone in front of it opening it that way. My neighbor thought I did a magic trick.
Man, tap pay. I know people are scared to do it, but I love tap pay. I really like. I like doing it at bars. I like doing it at banks. I just like to just. Why do I gotta touch shit?
I like tapping.
I'm like my granddaddy. I'm like my granddaddy in the fact that I just gave up cash 2 years ago.
So that's the thing I was gonna say. I'm a little mixed on that because the more they add these innovations, the more they move away from cash, and I don't like cashless environments either. I just don't like that. I feel like cashless is a way to exclude certain people, and I don't
On that side of it, it is a way to exclude, because I got family members that still don't fuck with banks, or they in a situation where they don't make enough money to they cash their check at certain places. They don't have enough to start a bank account just yet. And so they still work on cash, and so when you get to places that are cashless, it feel like they don't want you there.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
This year Jazz Fest is happening in New Orleans right now, and they made it cashless, and it was a catastrophe. But B, it's just yet another way that they're separating the culture from our kids, because not all kids have that kind of thing. And it used to be kids could roll into Jazz Fest. Jazz Fest was not this thing that was separate. It was always very open, and it was for tourists and locals. But when you do things like make cashless environments, you're definitely saying that you A, don't want the youth of your community to enjoy the art form that their ancestors built. But also you're saying this is only for a certain type of local. This is not for you.
It's becoming another way to make sure they could tax you also. Yes. They want to know all your transactions so they could tax you the way they see fit. And I'll be damned, because I know that there's certain nightclubs where people may or may not take off their clothes. They're not giving up the cash. It's the only places I know that still have $2 bills.
That's right.
Yeah, man. I like a $2 bill. If someone has a $2 bill, I'm like, I know where you've been, dog. I'm planning on going there next weekend.
That is very funny now, because I have an aunt, rest her soul, who always used to have $2 bills.
She was there too.
Yeah, yeah. Telling you, man, $2 bills is a sign of a good time. You was around somebody with a stack of $2 bills. You're like, what's happening in here? Party.
Nothing but a party.
Oh, man, I've been doing so many shows this weekend. This past week, me and Ariel Liady, we brought back Culture Vulture, which we're very happy about. For those who don't know what Culture Vulture is, it is a show that apparently me and Liady figured out a way to piss off certain white comics. We do a comedy show that does not have any straight white men on the show.
Exclusionary. That's what that is.
Oh, wait a minute. So you don't like this? No, it's wrong.
Now we can only have everything else.
Standing outside your shit with signs that say, the world is not enough. The world is not enough.
I mean, like, just think about how many of these ideological battles are simply white men don't want to hear no.
Yeah. It's been a rough ordeal trying to find a venue to do a show where, like, you tell, like, when I tell the venue, I'm like, oh, it's a show that we don't have any racist comics on the show. And they're like, oh, cool. And I go, oh, yes. And no cis white men on the show. And they're like, what? No straight white men at all? Then who's going to come? Everyone else.
Literally. Everyone else. You would be shocked how many people just in the city are not straight white men. Astonished, I say.
This one place was telling white dudes walking in that bought tickets to the show already. You know, it's no straight white men on the show, right? And he goes, yes, I know. I'm here for them. It's wild.
I like
it. Yeah, man. We plan on doing it more and taking it on the road. The first show was great. We are at a new venue. The owner, though, he's pretty weird. He owns a like a yoga studio that does entertainment. Like, you can rent out the space and do comedy shows and other events there. So, you know, fuck it. I'll just say it. He just tries to push weed on people the whole show. Weed and crystals.
I like it. I like him.
He's like, technically, I can't sell you alcohol, but if you buy one of my crystals and you hand it back to me, I could give you a drink. I was like, wait a minute. Is this a barter system?
Yes, I'm giving you a quartz crystal of vodka and you hand it back to me on your quest. Give me the amulet. I want to drink with this dude. I want to drink with this dude because I want to walk away with a pocket full of rocks.
Yes. I have a little dish for my crystals.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
I feel weird saying the word crystals because I dated a woman named that. And now when I hear people like bring up crystals, like, you know what crystal makes me feel good? Not the one I dated.
You make me sick.
Chris was supposed to bring you peace, but I didn't have that one.
Oh, man.
Oh, what was your favorite crystal, though?
Oh, I think it's probably my amethyst. I have a geode, an amethyst geode. Chunk. Actually,
you're the second woman of color to tell me this, that the amethyst is their favorite crystal. What's with it?
Hey, that's
first
my
of all, every Generation X woman is bound by law to have a special relationship with purple because of Prince. So
yeah.
If you're in that age group, that's thing one. And then it brings balance. So,
You know what's weird? Amethyst is my birthstone. I feel like I bring any balance to any situation. I tip the scales.
Hey, what's that one is for Capricorns then?
I should know that. Oh, it's a garnet.
Oh. I like that. Garnet. That's cool.
My birthstone is topaz, and I have no topaz.
Topaz. That sounds like something that you name weed.
No, man. Topaz.
It sounds like it would be my stripper name.
And coming to the stage.
Topaz.
I would.
Sultry.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. If you're at the plus size stripper emporium and you hear Topaz, I'm about what you would expect to come out.
Some days I miss hosting that show up in that strip club in Connecticut. That was a good time. Hey, that's my second piece of, my first piece of bad advice. Get a job at the strip club. They don't got to be stripping. They need janitors, too. They need somebody to fix lights, make drinks. Or, in my case, a fast-talking black dude to host a topless talent show in Connecticut on a Tuesday.
I remember those days.
I remember them, too.
Is that how you ended up going to the AVNs?
No. That was a different company. I got that because another comedian said his wife told him he couldn't go to a porn convention because he's married. I was like, you know, you don't got to fuck him. You just got to interview him. It's like, all right.
Sometimes you know your nigga and, you know.
Oh, that's what it was? She was like, you going to go and be in there trying to fuck these little women.
Yeah,
keep going and do it.
Because at no point in this story did you tell me that he said she's being completely ridiculous.
Wow, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. He just sucked his teeth and was like, "You want to do the job?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay." They just actually hit me up. They actually just hit me up. And the ones I did the AVNs for, I'm supposed to go down to the adult convention down in Georgia in Atlanta pretty soon. Nice. So yeah,
take me.
I'm gonna need it.
You will definitely get kidnapped at the AVNs.
Oh, dude, I'm putting one of them Apple trackers on me. So I'm gonna go down.
I'm on X and XS trying to find my damn business. And who the fuck I see but you? No, get a tracker.
Yeah, it's gonna
I don't know how we're gonna find your ass, because if you put an Apple tag on yourself, me and you both got Androids, so what the fuck does that mean to me?
It's obviously gonna be my responsibility.
Yeah. Hey Mel, Saron. I was wondering if you know where Gordon is.
You doing all right? So
yeah, the first time I went down to Atlanta, I got a haircut in the most weird place. It was like a strip mall, not a strip mall, like a flea market. And this lady's like, "You want a haircut?" And she proceeded to give me the worst haircut I ever got in my life.
That was not a barber.
Not a barber.
You had a Korean barbecue joint.
Well, all right, this doesn't seem safe, but all right, I already got the cape on.
When it seemed wrong. And the opportunity to say no thank you was right there. What did you explain your process? I'm interested. I'm not judging.
I'm just like, yeah, she already started. She's complimenting me. I'll get it fixed. I could wear a hat just for a day.
I got to ask you something.
Go for it.
That I know I'm going to regret.
What's up?
Did this lady bear any resemblance to any of your exes?
No. This was
you sure?
I'm positive. She had the bottom gold teeth, which I found attractive. She had like a low fade, which was really fucked my head up. She had a nice haircut and looked good and sexy. Why can't you cut my hair like that? No,
just trying to make sure that none of your exes, you know, set this up so that they can make a voodoo doll out of you. You have any strange pains?
No. The one ex that knows actual Caribbean dark arts, we are on talking terms. Not talk. We don't talk, but I told her relinquish me, and she did.
Relinquish.
Yeah, I drank Mama Juana. It was a whole thing. Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. Yeah, Dominicans, you know?
I do not know, and neither does Saron. The only person who knows is you.
So Mama Juana, they put alcohol into like this glass with all these woods and stems and seeds, and they fermented in there, and then you drank it with someone, and the sexes. It's mind bending.
You idiot! You fell for a fucking bonding ceremony. You sold your soul. What the fuck?
I'm listening to the story. I'm like waiting for the part where he, because I don't know everything about everything, but I know a little bit about a little bit. And I'm like,
well at the time,
doesn't sound like what that is.
She came back from DR and she said, I had a gift for you. And I was like, oh, I was excited. And, you know,
the gift is her, nigga.
She came to Harry Potter shit and you fell for it. That, Gordon, now let me tell you from my point of view, and you tell me how this sounds to you. That'd be like some girl from Georgia telling me, hey, Saron, come stand with me in the yard barefoot under the moon. We're going to eat red clay together. I'm not following that fun of that shit.
I don't know. Like, she was so happy to be back from DR. She said she had gifts. So I was excited. I was like, oh, the girl's back. Hey, man. Yeah, she did go to DR a lot that year. And not like the vacation tourist spots.
In the jungle, nigga.
The longer I know you, the less funny. That kidnapping story goes from haha, Gordon's so crazy, to an actual horror story.
I tell it now on stage because it's like I'm finally able to like talk about it. And like I tell it now to prove to men that we shouldn't be so loose with our dicks. Or just be so trusting of just every old body that wants to take you to a party.
I can't let you do that because then I'm gonna allow you to victim blame yourself. And you are literally a victim.
I just didn't want to spend time in a goddamn casino. I don't gamble. I just like, look at all these slip people. I don't want to do this. And then it was like a party. Why not? But yeah, seriously. Yeah. 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 Won't do that again.
Yeah, we gotta protect this nigga from himself. Ron,
when you was little, you didn't used to watch Tough Talking?
You want to hear something? Like, it's a weird story. So, like, my mom had to, she had to go somewhere, and my aunt Gwen, who I wasn't too familiar with, but I was in preschool, and she was told to pick me up. It was the first time someone that wasn't my mom came to pick me up from preschool. So she came and got me, and I got in the car, and I wasn't too familiar with my aunt Gwen. Like, I probably seen her like two times. But I'm a child in preschool. So she goes, time to go, Gordon. I go, okay. And I put on my coat, get in the car. And she walks me out because she knows the password and all that stuff. And she told my mom that when I got in the car, I was sitting there. And my first words were, who are you and where's my Janet?
Yo, Aunt Gwen is the reason you can't just pick up kids from the daycare anymore.
Where's my Janet? Have you always called your mama Janet?
Yeah, I stopped when she's really, like my uncles would like pick at her. But like at the time we lived with like my grandmother and my aunt, and I think my Uncle Pete lived upstairs before he moved out. So they would all call her Janet, and they would all call my grandma Ma. So I would just call, I wouldn't call my grandmother Ma, I would call her Mama, and I would call my mother Janet, because that's what everybody else in the house is doing.
My Janet.
So my Janet. She said we had like a good 2-year stretch where she would argue with me, a child, mind you, she would argue with me because she was trying to reason with me to call her Ma, and I'm like, no, that's Ma, that you are Janet, I am Gordon.
Similar thing happened with my kids.
Yeah.
And Rico. And they tried calling me Mal, and I was like, oh no, nigga. Not after 15 and a half hours of labor, you not. I must be on drugs.
The deal was like when like she wanted to take me to like one of the Delta conventions and whatnot, or like luncheons, and but she knew that like I would call her Janet, so she was like, "Hey, if you go in here, you call me Ma. Just play a game and call me Ma. And here, I'll take you to go get something to eat at McDonald's." And I'm like, "Bet." So,
you Ma today? Bribery.
Yeah,
but you know, like now that I'm older, I look back at stuff like that, and I'm not saying that people don't like you do whatever you think is best for your situation. But it seems like such a trivial thing.
Yeah.
Now, like I think a lot about ma'am and sir and all of that, and it's like a person is going to respect you because they respect you. It's not like adding these honorifics and shit. But we get hung up on that, you know. We get hung up on, and I know like a lot for Gen X especially, we were still, a lot of what we had was still like tradition. So by the time we were unlearning things, we were adults, which is very different than, you know, a very different position than the millennials were lucky enough to be in, where you got to enter adulthood like, this look like bullshit.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of us had to reverse course. And when you think about the human ego, how many people are going to do that? That's why we're so mixy in terms of where we are ideologically, because we all were taught the same shit. We all were in that like Clinton respectability politics, you know, version of Black excellence. And we had to get to a point where in adulthood where we had to decide if we were going to humble ourselves and back out of that or dig our heels in. And that's kind of what you see why we're so split off.
This is true.
Because boy, them pre-1973 Gen Xers.
Crazy. They're nuts.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. Well, hey, we want to thank y'all for listening to the Bad Advice Show once again. We had a great conversation tonight.
Wait. You can't get out of here without telling us if any of your kids ever called you not called you daddy or something like that, called you
son. You know damn well.
I'm scared to lose my kids because they don't know my first name.
All right, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, who's your father, daddy? Who'd you come with? What's your daddy's first name? Daddy?
What's your dad's name? D-A-D.
Daddy Russell. They'd be looking for Daddy Russell over the intercom at Target.
And your country ass will know to find them.
Exactly. I'm gonna come running.
Oh man. All right. That's right. Serome is right. That is our show for this week. We thank y'all all for listening. We appreciate y'all. Please keep clicking. And if you can, please share the show. Let people know about it. Let people know about the Patreon also. That would be greatly appreciated. With that being said, Serome, where can people find you this weekend?
This weekend I'm chilling, but you can find me online at on Instagram at Metarome, MetaRome, all one word, and you can find me on Twitter at Serome Russell, CerromeRussell.
All right, Mel, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere, including Blue Sky, at the Gates of Mel. The O is a zero, and you'll be able to find me on my new site, MelanieDion.com. New podcast coming soon. Good stuff on the horizon.
And as for me, you can find me at Baker Bone on Instagram and Twitter. Well, my website, BakerBone.com. June 18th, we are celebrating Juneteenth. So get your tickets for that, because we're going to be doing a brunch show and it's going to be freaking great. We got the great Keith Robinson and Dave Temple's going to be on that show. So plus, we're going to add more names to it. So come check it out. It's going to be a good time. Brunch and love, everybody. Brunch and love and Black history. And with that being said, almost forgot. Sorry about last week. We weren't able to get out that other thing because I was super busy, but we will have a new episode up this week. And with that being said, everybody, call your parents by their first name and don't drink the mama wanna.
I
He's
can't
not
believe you
alone.
fell for that.
He's not alone. He's everybody.